Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the day, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. We are here. I've got a lot of hope for you today. Let me tell you, we've got one of my favorite guests on today with a really inspirational and positive message. Do you feel like you need that? Because I certainly do. Let me tell you, I really do. I am holding on to hope in a world that seems to feel like it's telling me there is no hope. I know that's not true. There is hope to be found. If you've been listening since January and you're a regular listener, you know every week we talk about a habit for healthy families. This week, we're going to talk about being forgiving. I'll be talking about that on Friday. When should you ask your kids for forgiveness? And how exactly should you do that? What's a healthy way to have a culture of forgiveness in your home? What are the right boundaries for that? But for right now, I just challenge you to think, do you need to ask anyone's forgiveness today? Have you hurt anyone? Have you offended anyone? I mean, if you've been awake for more than a few minutes, and then you probably have. So I encourage you just to be thinking about that and ask the Lord to reveal to you when or where or what circumstance you might need forgiveness in your life. And we'll be talking more about that on Friday. But today we are going to talk about overflowing, living abundantly in a broken culture. Does that not sound like something we can all use? My guest today is Carol McLeod. She is the founder and CEO of Carol McLeod Ministries, and she has devoted her life to teaching women to cultivate joy in every circumstance with the life-changing power of the Word of God. She has an active prison ministry. She has a thriving outreach to remote villages in Pakistan. She has more than 4 million downloads on her various YouVersion devotionals. And she has a popular weekly Significant Women podcast. And if that wasn't enough, her truly great accomplishments are that she is a mom to 5 grown children and a marmy, which many of you will recognize that name from Little Women. I love that. Marmy to 10 grandchildren. And she is constructing a legacy in the Lord, not just for her family, but for all the women of this generation, including you who are listening. And she just has so much hope. She is just such a light and a joy. And Carol, I am beyond delighted to have you here on the show today. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh, Jessica, I just love you so much. Your listeners need to know that we have never met in person, but we are like the same person. If there were ever kindred spirits, I think it's Jessica and Carol.
I know. You can even hear from the way that we talk, the way that we both absolutely love Christmas, which, by the way, Carol, I put up my Christmas trees last weekend. I know some of my listeners are just, you know, having an absolute fit right now because it is nowhere near Thanksgiving, but that was our family tradition. My girls were home from college. They wanted to help decorate. You and I both love Christmas. We love 1940s musicals. I mean, just the list goes on and on.
And I am proud of you. I am proud of you for putting up your Christmas tree. That's amazing.
Well, you know, it is never too early to bring joy to the world. Nope. That is what I say. And, you know, I may get some strange looks as trick-or-treaters are walking through our neighborhoods, but, you know, they will just see the light of from my home, from my tree, and just know that there is light in this world. And I'm not afraid of that. But, you know, Carol, I just, and for our listeners, we met actually through my book tour, and you had me on your show, Significant Women, and we just hit it off. We were just like peas and carrots. And Carol, the book that you have written, you've written so many books and so many great Bible studies, but this one, Overflowing, Living Abundantly in a Broken Culture, it just grabbed a hold of my heart. And our culture is absolutely broken. I don't think there's anybody with any worldview who wouldn't look and say, we have issues. How is it possible to live an abundant life in the middle of this election craziness, the media madness, the sentiments that seem hostile to our faith. Have you found this secret, Carol? I want to know.
Well, Jessica, it's so amazing that every generation since the days when Jesus walked upon the earth, every generation has been invited to live fully and enthusiastically despite the lies and the brokenness of the culture. So, Jessica, one night I was watching the news, which I don't always do, but I was heartsick. I couldn't believe it. I thought, what? This is my world? This is the culture that my grandchildren are being raised in? This is sick. This is heartbreaking. And so you know me, Jessica, I opened my Bible. I had to find some peace somewhere, and there was not peace on the network news. I'll tell you that right now. There was no hope there. And I just happened to open my Bible to the book of Colossians, and as I began to read it, I realized Paul was writing to a church who was trying to survive in a broken culture. And so the words of Paul ricochet through the centuries down the hallways of time, and they are as vital today as they were when Paul wrote them 2,000 years ago. So we need to stand up straight and tall. We need to have hope in our hearts, and we need to live at full throttle for the unshakable kingdom of God, no matter who wins the election, no matter who's in the White House, no matter what lies the media tells us. We are the people of God, Jessica, at this moment in history, and we get to live for him. How exciting is that?
I mean, it is so exciting. And Carol, you say something so important, because I think as parents, as grandparents, as just human beings, like you said, who are watching the news, we see all of these new threats, all of these things that we think, oh my goodness, I cannot even believe that. I never could have imagined that. And we think that, you know, there's some new kind of evil, when that is not the truth. The world has always been broken. There are just new ways to express that as culture evolves. But the root sin of all of that is the same. And I think that's what I see kids who are so anxious and who are so depressed, because those standards change every day and they don't know what's acceptable today might be canceled tomorrow. But when you start talking about the truth of God's word and that foundation that will never be shaken, that will never change, that's something that can give us confidence. Just as you were describing, Paul getting a message 2,000 years ago, and that message is still applicable to us. And in this book, Carol, you talk about the God-given assignment that each one of us has. All right, are you ready, listeners? This is a tough one.
Yeah.
Okay, put on your tough suit here. Each one of us has love, difficult people, not just tolerate them, not just put up with them. We are called to love. What? How is that a message from Paul that is echoing today?
Yeah, Paul calls us, Jessica, to love difficult people. And so how do we translate that to 21st century? Okay, so Jessica, you and I need to love people who are going to vote differently than we're going to vote. We need to love people, of course, with different skin color, different socioeconomic level, different accents, different political beliefs. We need to love these people thoroughly and well. It is our call as Christians at this moment in history to love difficult people. And I have learned, Jessica, okay, I'm going to tell you a story. The Lord has given me the opportunity to love a really, really difficult person. This person is struggling in the gender identity field, and they're a part, a very close part of my life. And Jessica, I'm like a real gracious person. I think you know that about me. I can be gracious and kind and put on my little grace face and sort of plow through things. But the Holy Spirit said to me, oh, no, Carol, you're not going to get away with that. You're not going to put on that grace face and just think you're loving that person well. The Holy Spirit said to me, you're going to love that person from your heart. And I said, nope, I'm not going to do it. I don't even like this person. And the Holy Spirit said, how about if I help you? How about if I help you love this person? And I've had to realize, Jessica, that loving difficult people is an act of my will, not an emotion of my heart. But the more I act upon it, the more I say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, love this person through me. Jesus, help my words be loving and kind. Jesus, how can I love this person in a practical sense? Take her out to lunch, buy her new shoes, watch a movie with her. Lord, as you give me these creative ideas, I'm going to do it. I am all in. Jesus, I want to be you with skin on in this situation. And so, Jessica, it's hard. It's hard for moms out there who are trying to figure all that out. But we confess our weakness. We ask for his strength. And we say, Jesus, I'm going to partner with you in loving difficult people. So Jesus loved difficult people, right? Matthew was not particularly easy to love. Peter was hard to love. He loved Judas. Jessica, I think like one of the issues, and this makes it really practical for your listeners, is we have allowed difficult people to bring out the worst in us, right? Frustration, anger, bitterness. Mm-hmm. What if Jesus put that person in your life to bring out the Jesus in you? What if?
You know, you bring up a really interesting point, Carol, when you talk about grace face, which I think I'm going to steal right now, a grace face, because sometimes we do, as we put on this face like, okay, I'm not going to really engage here. I'm just going to play nice. Right. I'm just going to try to be gracious. I'm not really going to engage. I'm just going to try to not say anything that gets me canceled and, you know, just kind of go with the flow mm-hmm. here. And a lot of times, Carol, when we encounter people who believe differently than us, who vote differently than us, all of those kinds of things you're saying, I think we ask ourselves a lot of questions and we think, okay, what is the right thing to say here? What are the boundaries that I should put up in this relationship here? You know, where is the line between, between loving them and, you know, standing on my values or my beliefs? But mm-hmm. I don't think, Carol, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, okay, I don't think that a lot of times the first question that we ask ourselves is, how can I love this person well? How can I ask God to help me show love to this person? Because we are called to love. We are called to love. I mean, of course, it's easy to love those who love us, but it is God calls us to love those who don't love us, who are opposed to us. And that is really, really hard. And we can only do that in the power of God. And a lot of what you talk about here in this study is the power of God. What did you learn from that? How do we need God's power to help us do that? Because I don't think that we're good enough to do it on our own.
Oh, that's the truth, Jessica. There's no way we can really do anything on our own. Like, I can't do marriage on my own, okay, Jessica? I can't parent adult
for sure
on my own, right? And there's no way we can do it without his power. So in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul is praying for the church at Colossae, a broken church, a battered church, a bullied church. And he said, hey, guys, hey, brothers and sisters, I want you to be strengthened with all power. So look at those four words, strengthened with all power. The most exciting word in that phrase, Jessica, is the word all. We have the possibility of being strengthened with all the power that heaven holds. That's a boatload of power. And as Paul prayed this prayer, Jessica, I believe that he was convinced that the power of creation, the power of holding back the Red Sea, the power that closed the mouths of the lions, the power that turned the water into wine, the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead could be part of our makeup today. Paul stood firmly in this, that we are meant to be the most powerful people living at our moment in history. You know, we look at
people like... We forget that. I'm going to hold you right there. We're going to a break. But what a great thought to ponder on over this break, that we have that kind of power in us. We know that. And so many times, Carol, I think in this culture and this world, we feel powerless in so many ways. But that is such a good reminder. And we're going to pick right back up there as soon as we get through this break. I'll see you on the other side. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that is a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Welcome back, friends. That is such a great message. God has not failed you. We know that He has been faithful in the past, and we know that He will do it again. That song is Do It Again by Elevation Worship. And we are asking God to be faithful to us again and again and again. We're asking for His mercies to be new every morning, because that's how often we need them. And today I'm talking to Carol McLeod. She is the founder and CEO of Carol McLeod Ministries, and she's written a new book. And it has really gripped my heart, just this message, overflowing, living abundantly in a broken culture. And before the break, we were talking about God's power in us. And so often I think, especially for me as a mom, I feel paralyzed. Like, what can I do? What can't I do? We're afraid of what to do. We're afraid of saying the wrong thing. We're afraid of being canceled, of being cyberbullied, of hurting our kids by saying the wrong thing and not knowing, how to live out the principles that we hold so dear, but also show love. Those things are all hard. And Carol, you were right in the middle of giving us a really encouraging word about, and a reminder about, the power of God that resides in us. And so I'm going to let you pick it back up from there.
Oh, thanks, Jessica. Yeah, as women, I know your audience is men and women, but, we look at people like Princess Kate or Prince William or Biden or Kamala Harris or Trump or Hillary Clinton, and we think, oh, they're the power brokers of our generation. No, they're not. No, they're not. Jessica, you and I have more power in our little fingers than they have begun to tap into, unless, of course, they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I don't mean to make any judgment calls upon them, but you know what I'm saying, that when you meet Jesus Christ, when you know Him as your Lord and Savior, and when you say, Jesus, pour on the power, Jesus, I need your power, we are powerful people. The word that Paul uses in that verse, Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all power, is the Greek word dunamis. Now, Jessica, you can guess that we get the English word dynamite from the word that Paul used to describe power. So as believers in Jesus Christ, we should be blowing some things up. We should be blowing up earthly systems. We should be decimating a compromised culture. We should be blowing up depression and unforgiveness. This is our moment. Jessica, this is the only moment in time when you and I will ever live. And it's up to us to live boldly, lovingly, but blow things up for the cause of Jesus Christ and for his kingdom, so we can tap into the power source that, again, destroys depression or anxiety or ravaging emotional pain. Jessica, I just believe that God's power can change anything, and we're the conduit. We're the vessel that God is pouring out his power on in this generation.
Well, this book is a study of the book of Colossians, and you talk about the ways that we should view God, because he is the one who has that power, who gives that power to us. And I'm really encouraged, honestly, Carol, just thinking about this, because I do think, without even putting words to it, a lot of times we see ourselves as so powerless. We can't change the news cycle. We don't have the kind of political influence of like the leaders that you just mentioned. We're not a governor, we're not a CEO, and then we think, what power do we have? But we have power to influence our circle, and that is the most important thing that God has given us. And you teach us some truths about God from the book of Colossians. So tell us, what are those? There's three specific truths, actually, that you call out. What are those three truths, Carol, and what can we learn from that?
Well, of course, we've got to go into the Word to discover these truths. But what we learn from the book of Colossians is that Jesus is God in the flesh, that he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the show and tell of who God the Father is. You know, we weren't getting it. We weren't understanding who God was. And so God said, okay, I'm going to help you understand. I'm going to send Jesus, my son, who is the mirror image of me. And so we learn who God is by looking at Jesus. So when Jesus came to earth, he calmed storms, he forgave sins, he multiplied provisions, he performed miracles. And so we learn who God is by acquainting ourselves with Jesus the Son. And now, so he's the image of God. Okay, so then Jesus is also, this is such good theology, Jessica. I just want your listeners to lean in and listen. Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. So what that means is, not only does Jesus show us who God is, but Jesus came to show us who we were meant to be. What? Isn't that exciting? Jesus was just like God the Father, and we are invited to live just like Jesus the Son. We are called to calm people's storms, to pray for miracles, to stand in faith for others. When I think about Jesus, I realize that he reveals in a human body the wonder of human possibility, that we can emulate Jesus and walk in his power. We are meant to be overflowing with the character and the goodness of Jesus. And then the next thing, it's okay, so Jessica, if your listeners haven't heard anything else I've said, I want you to listen to this, okay? Mm-hmm. It says in Colossians 1:17 that Jesus holds all things together. He holds everything together by his authority. And the one who holds the universe together, single mom, he holds your life together as well. Woman who's walking through a betrayal or a divorce, I just want to cry. Jesus will hold your life together as well. Mom whose child is sick, Jesus will hold your life together. Mom who's just aching to have a baby, but you're going through infertility, Jesus will not allow your life to disintegrate or fall apart. You can trust him with your deepest pain and your greatest need. He'll hold you together. Okay, so now, Jessica, I know you're a scientist, so we're going to geek out a little bit
together. I love it.
Okay?
I love it.
Okay. There's a force, and you might know this, an atomic structure that holds the atom together. Scientists are unable to identify what this force is or where it comes from. It's actually one of the great mysteries of modern science. So the nucleus of the atom contains positively charged as well as neutral particles. And really, they should repel each other, those two little bits of matter that are in a human cell. And so this repulsion would drive the nucleus apart were it not for the strong force that they can't identify, this mysterious strong force that binds the nucleus together. This force never diminishes. It never wanes. This force holds the nucleus of the atom together. What is that force? That force is Jesus. Jesus holds the universe together. He holds the nucleus together. And sisters and brothers, he can hold your life together as well.
I know, Carol, there are so many listeners who need to hear that today. I can even see some on the live stream saying, I needed to hear this message today because in this world, Carol, I feel like we think that things are falling apart all the time. I hear that phrase all the time. My life is falling apart. The world is falling apart. The culture is falling apart. You know, just everything seems to be falling apart. But having that truth saying no, that God holds all things together, and to know that we have that power. I mean, really, Carol, what this is a lot of times we put ourselves in our own prison. It's like a prison cell with the door open, and we're just sitting there thinking, oh, I can't get out. And you talk about that in this book too. You talk about spending time in a prison of the soul. That is such a gripping phrase. And so what do you mean by that? What is it like to spend time in a prison of the soul?
Yeah, so Jessica, it really struck me as I was studying the book of Colossians, taking a deep dive into it, that Paul wrote this incredible life-changing book in the Bible from prison. And theologians, Bible historians believe that it was probably his longest imprisonment. So think about this. Paul took the years that he was in prison, and he used these years to encourage an insignificant church in a dying community. His arms and feet may have been in chains, oh, but not his spirit. You know, Paul could have wasted these years by complaining, by being afraid, by being frustrated or angry, by shaking his fist in God's face. But Paul was determined, as I am and as you are, Jessica, not to squander one precious day of the redeemed life that he'd been given. And the truth is, we all spend time in prisons. Our feet might not be in chains, but our hearts are, our emotions are, our minds are. We're in prisons of loneliness, of grief, of abuse, of bitterness. And we have to be intentional what we do with our prison years. Now, you can whine, you can murmur, you can complain. Nobody's going to blame you for that, because prisons are wretched, despicable, stinking places. But listen, if we want to take a chapter out of the life of Paul, if we want to be used by Christ, if we want to impact our culture and change our destiny, then even while we're in prison, even when we don't like our circumstances, what are we going to do? We're going to encourage others. We're going to keep our eyes on Jesus. We're going to keep praying for the people in our world. So Paul models the miraculous possibility of turning the prison years into the most productive and purposeful time of one's life. Talk about an oxymoron, Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in a prison today, look up. Look up, sisters and brothers. Say, Jesus, how can you use me? Who can I love today? Who can I encourage today? Who can I pray for today? I will not waste one more minute of the redeemed life I've been given.
Well, Carol, you're going to make me a little teary, because I'm thinking about all the different kinds of prisons there are. And I know that you minister in real live prisons, and I want to talk about that in just a minute. But there are a lot of times we're in other prisons. We're in emotional prisons. We're in relational prisons. And I'm thinking about my sweet granny who went to be with the Lord last year, and she was such a vibrant, active person, Carol. She loved being out in the community. She was the welcome wagon for the town. She would go and visit every new restaurant that came for lunch, and she was always making baby blankets or hosting baby showers or wedding showers or just whatever she could do to be with people serving in the community. That was literally her whole purpose in life. And after COVID, she had a stroke. And she was really limited with her mobility to the point that she was in a nursing home. And Carol, to her, that was such a prison. It was so difficult because she couldn't go and make coffee for her Sunday school class, and she couldn't go to all of her grandchildren and great-grandchildren's little school programs. And for a while, she was really, really depressed about it, and it was really hard to see it. And one day, Carol, I went to see her, and she looked different. She was smiling. Her circumstances had not changed at all, but she was smiling. She had makeup on. She had gotten her hair done, and she was happy. And I walked in, and I said, "Granny, what is going on?" And she said, "The Lord spoke to me." And I thought, oh, here's where I'm going to get emotional. She said, "I really saw myself as being in a prison." And I said, "Lord, help me get better so that I can get out of here and get back to my life of serving other people." And God said to her, "I have not changed your mission. I have not changed your life. I have just changed the people you are ministering to. I've given you different people to minister to." And so she said, "I have caregivers coming in and out of my room every 5 minutes, you know, that they're coming in constantly to come and do things. There are people bringing trays, people, nurses coming in, you know, other healthcare providers." And Carol, she made it her mission to love each one of those people. She knew their names. She knew their families. She knew their hurt. She knew their pains. They knew they could come and sit at the end of her bed and tell her about they were having a hard day and ask her to pray for them. And she would do that. And it completely transformed her life. And she found such purpose in that. And I remember being so humbled by that and thinking, would I have the courage to do that, to see my life like that? But Carol, I think back to the verse I say often here that I hold on to from Psalm 84:11. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And so many things that seem like they're terrible that are in our lives. Paul being in prison seems absolutely terrible. And all of the things that I know our listeners are going through. But knowing that God has a greater story to write, that those things we don't see at the time are for our good and for his glory. Well, Carol, you've got me all worked up. I'm telling you, I am just overflowing with the encouragement that you're providing from this book, Overflowing, a study of Colossians. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation about how we can live at such a challenging moment in history, and how we can find hope to live abundantly. Don't go away. We'll be right back on the other side of this break.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. God's love never fails and it never runs out. That song is One Thing Remains by Passion and Christian Stanfill. And it's one of my favorites. I remember hearing that song on a Thanksgiving day very long ago when my husband had to have emergency surgery out of town in the middle of nowhere. And I was thinking, we don't know anyone here. We don't know this surgeon. I don't know what's going to happen. And that song came over the speakers of the surgeon's office. And I was reminded that God's love never runs out. It really doesn't. And we're talking with Carol McLeod today about Overflowing, Living Abundantly in a Broken Culture, a book, a Bible study that she's written about the book of Colossians and how we are living in a broken culture. And Carol, in the last segment, we were talking about the fact that sometimes we forget when we read in Colossians that Paul wrote this book from prison. And you said it so well that those were some of the most productive years of his life. Those could have been the years where he felt like things were on hold or he wasn't able to do anything. And yet he wrote these letters we're still reading today. And he didn't just write letters. He sang songs while he was in prison. And I wonder, you know, if that would, that's not, I don't think that's a natural human reaction, but songs are a vital part of our ability to live abundantly. I love music. I have always loved music. I love all kinds of music and I especially love hymns. And I know you love hymns too, Carol. What are the lyrics of the hymns in particular? How do they help us to live with power and purpose, even when life seems like it is overwhelming?
Okay, I'm probably going to cry again, Jessica. But listen,
I have that effect on people. It's okay.
We are a people of the song. There is a song in our soul that we were created to sing. It's a song of glorious praise. It is a song of unbroken joy. It is a song that's going to get us through the most fierce of storms in our lives. You know, this ability to sing during a difficult time is a theme throughout all of Scripture. If you were to look at the Bible thematically, this would be one of the themes, that the people of God are never without a song. And so when I was doing my research for this book, Overflowing, Living Abundantly in a Broken Culture, I was amazed to learn that part of the book of Colossians contains actually the lyrics that the first century church would sing. They were the lyrics to one of their most popular songs. And I thought, isn't that incredible that here is this broken, battered, bullied church, and yet they're singing such powerful lyrics. And I read a story. Okay, you just have to track with me for a minute, Jessica.
Okay, I'm ready.
There was a Scottish politician by the name of Andrew Fletcher. He was known as a hot-headed patriot, and he stood against corruption in Scotland's parliament. He lived in the late 1600s, early 1700s. He was a writer, a speaker, an astute political thinker. And Sir Walter Scott, the great writer, actually described Andrew Fletcher as one of the most accomplished men and best patriots Scotland has produced in any age. Okay, so what did this man, this politician, this orator, Andrew Fletcher, say about music? This is what he said. He said, "Let me write the songs for a nation, and I can determine the history of that nation. I don't care who writes its laws." What? So, Jessica, for those of us who feel powerless in the face of the coming election, for those of us who think we've got no ability to change anything to make a difference, let me tell you something. Don't lose your song. Keep singing your song. Let your children hear you sing. Let your teenagers hear you sing. Put on the greatest worship songs you can find and blast them through your home, because music makes a difference. It makes a difference in us, and it makes a difference in the world around us. Jessica, you and I are so much alike, but we love the popular, more contemporary music of today. Oh, Jessica, every time I hear the song, All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing,
Of the goodness of God.
Yeah, what a declaration. But Jessica, when I also sing, great is thy faithfulness. Oh God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. The great hymns that thousands have sung before us, we must sing, Jessica. We are a people of the song.
I love that so much. And I was just able to visit Scotland recently, and I feel like I can see Andrew Fletcher. Yes, because their culture is so passionate, you know, and just seeing that come through in song, I do think that that does. I mean, I think about, you know, my weapon is a melody, that praise song that has that lyric, and hearing that and thinking, yes, that is my weapon. It is my spirit. And even not too long ago, my daughter, who was in college, was doing a project looking at how enslaved persons in America used song as a weapon, as so much, it meant so much, those songs that they sang. It was how they expressed the longings of their soul. It was how they encouraged and comforted each other. It's how they made a call to action among their community. I mean, all of those things. I believe that music is one of the most underutilized resources that we use in that we don't use, honestly, in our homes. And I discovered this a long time ago, Carol, and I use music as a tool. And, you know, I think about my parenting journey. And yes, of course, I've learned a lot of things like communication techniques and, you know, how to, you know, have difficult conversations and all of those kinds of things and relationship skills. But the overarching spiritual principles, including the music that I play in my house, that is the background track that is setting the tone for my kids. And they don't even realize it because there are earworms there. And I think some of the music, some of the news that we listen to, I mean, it's not about the evils of secular music. It's just about how are you using it intentionally to remind yourself that there is hope and that you have power. So we could talk about this all day, Carol, but I do want to know. I want to know. Who did you write this book for?
What a great question, Jessica. I wrote it for people who are discouraged with our culture. I wrote it for people who want to throw in the towel in life. I wrote it for people who feel bullied and battered emotionally. I wrote it for a church in conflict. I wrote it for the church, Jessica. I wrote it for Sunday school classes who are wondering, what should we believe anymore? I wrote it for a generation pummeled by politics, the media, and compromise. I wrote it for people who are hungry for more of Jesus. I wrote it for people with a hole in their soul. I wrote it for people who ache to get out of the prison. I wrote it for people who want to say yes to Jesus. You know, there's an ache in all of us right now at this moment in history, Jessica, like what's going on? Not only what's going on in politics and in the culture, but what's going on in the church? What is happening to the church? And we must cling. We must hold fast. We must tether ourselves to the truth that's in the Word of God. The Bible is not old-fashioned. It is not archaic, but it holds eternal truth because it was written by the Holy Spirit. And so that's who I wrote Overflowing for. And I just hope it encourages a couple people along their way.
I'm sure that it will, and it has encouraged me, Carol. It really has, and I know for some reason I have just talked about my granny a lot during this show, but honestly, we just passed the 1 year anniversary of her passing, mm-hmm. and it has really just changed my perspective on how I'm living in the world. And just recently her house was torn down and I drove by it. I finally had the courage to drive by it, and you can't even tell where it was. I mean, you can't even, wow. It just looks like it didn't exist. And you think about her life and I think, no, her legacy lives on in me and in the people yeah. she loved and in yeah. the strength of her faith. And I know I stood beside her in church and sang words from hymns that you were even quoting, Carol. And I know that one day I will do that again. And that is the kind of perspective that we have in this world. And I believe that our families need our testimony. They need yeah. to see our hope that we have. They need to see that we are lifting our eyes to where our help comes from. And that is from the maker of heaven and of earth. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is no problem that is too big for God. I often say God is not pacing the throne room of heaven, wringing his hands, saying, oh no, what's going to happen next?
Right.
He is sovereign. Yeah. He is in control. And we are in a broken world. And you know, one of the yeah. great resources that you give that I want to make sure we tell our listeners about as our time is winding down, Carol, is YouVersion. Now, a lot of people yes. may, we will have some avid YouVersion users and some people who think, wait, what did you just say? Can you tell yeah. us, you're a prolific YouVersion contributor, and I would love okay. for you, one of yours, your top one, 21 Days to Beat Depression, has been downloaded 4 million times worldwide. So tell us about right. YouVersion and what other resources we have that our listeners can connect with you.
I would love to. So YouVersion is the little brown Bible app on your smartphone. So you can click it, totally free, download it, and you can read the Bible there in so many different translations, or you can read devotionals. You can watch videos. The Bible comes to life on this little YouVersion app. So yes, I'm one of their writers. I don't know, I've written like maybe 30, 35-ish devotionals for them. So you can just do a search in the little YouVersion app for Carol McLeod, and they'll all come up. And you'll notice they're heavy on joy, because I love to write about joy. I love to help people live a life of joy. But so this all, so the Word of God and all of the devotionals have been translated into hundreds of languages. So, Jessica, this is so exciting, because I remember growing up, missionaries would have to smuggle the Bible into communist countries. But we don't really have to do that anymore. As long as we can break through those firewalls, the Bible can go through technology to places around the world. So YouVersion does that. It's in all these countries. So at the end of my devotionals, Jessica, we always say, if you'd like prayer, email Carol. And my email address is there. Jessica, every week we get hundreds and hundreds of emails from the Ukraine, from Siberia, from wow. India, from Korea, from all these places around the globe. People reaching out asking for prayer. And every one of the people who writes to us gets a personalized email in return. We have a whole volunteer corps who answer these emails for us. So it's a very exciting way to touch people around the world. I'm so honored to do it. Another thing I do is once a month by Zoom, I teach the Word of God to people in Pakistan who've never heard the name Jesus before. So a local missionary or pastor knocks on doors and they'll say, hey, an American is going to be speaking tonight in this location, always a private location, always the middle of the night, because what we're doing is against the law. And hundreds of people will gather. They put up a screen, just a white sheet, and Zoom me in. And I preach Jesus, Jessica. And you can see their faces. And at the end, I give a salvation call, and hundreds of hands go up in the air. And then my ministry, we give them a Bible in their own language. So we
oh my
pay
goodness.
For their Bible.
I love that, Carol. I love that. And if you want to know more, we are out of time, but if you want to know more, you can go to carolmcleodministries.com. That's M-C. leodministries.com. And listen, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. And I'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.